Welcome to another installment of the Food Plot Success Summit. I hope you enjoyed the last call as much as I did. Well, I'm glad you're here with us tonight because I'm very excited about what we have in store for you. Now, here's Ralph Scherter to introduce our special guest.
Thanks, Dave. Today at TrophyBuckSeekers.com, we're continuing our teleseminar series about food plots. Our special guest today is Gene Mashin of Moultrie Products. Mr. Mashin will be sharing his insights into the differences between planting in the north and planting in the south. Also, we're going to hear some time-saving and money-saving tips on how to plant food plots on a budget, or, as a friend once told me, sirloin food plots on a hamburger budget. So thanks for joining us today, Gene.
No problem. I'm looking forward to it.
Gene, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and the work you do at Moultrie?
Certainly. I've been here at Moultrie for 9 years now, going on 10, working in the customer service department. I'm the customer service manager. We field calls, hundreds of calls daily, about questions about food plots, questions about products. Thought about it 10 years ago when Dan, who's one of my best friends, called me and decided to he wanted me to come join him over here, and, of course, hunting has been part of my life all my life, and it was just like being invited to Christmas dinner. I said, yes, sir, and haven't looked back since, and it's truly one of the best jobs I've ever had, and I don't even look at it as a job. It's just my heart, and whenever you're working where your heart is, then that's the best job to have.
Absolutely. So fielding, you know, that many calls in one day or, you know, over a period of weeks, you probably hear, you know, a lot of the same types of problems from people. What are some of the most common mistakes that you hear that people make when using your products or when planting food plots?
To be honest with you, the biggest thing that is kind of comical, because I'm just like this. When I get something new, I buy it and I know how to use it and I take it out to set it up. And, when I hit a snag, I'm looking for my instructions, and usually I've thrown the instructions away with the box. So I have to call in and figure out how to set my product up properly and all that. And to be honest with you, I get a lot of those calls.
Yeah.
People out in the field, and they've misplaced their instructions or something, and most of my people have to walk them through setting up their product, which is actually an enjoyable call, and it's not a problem, but it's just like I am. I am exactly the same way. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone, and that's the mentality. And we get a lot of those calls. The biggest issue. As far as the biggest question that I think we field around planting season and around prior to hunting season is what type of product to buy for their given situation. You know, do I buy a 30-gallon tripod feeder or do I buy a 6.5-gallon feeder? I think that's one of the biggest things that we talk about with our customers.
And I'm glad you mentioned feeders because just a few minutes ago before we started recording this interview, we were talking about, you know, the functions of a food plot, but also using feeders in combination. And can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. If I could tell any hunter, if he's asking me what's the best setup for my property and I'm going to plant food plots, which is necessary. Food plots are absolutely the necessary, but they work even better in conjunction with a supplemental feeder. Like I said, you don't go home and eat salad every night. You actually have salad and maybe some corn and maybe some soybean. I don't, but the deer like soybean, like the protein of soybean. But you don't go home and eat salad. You want a little steak in there every now and then. And the whole purpose of food plots and supplemental feeding is simply, first of all and foremost, is to provide the deer with the nutrition they need where they don't have to go looking for it. And secondly, is to pattern the deer to come where you want them to come during these times of feeding. And in most states, food plots are perfectly legal and encouraged. In all states they are. But supplemental feeding is something you'd need to check with your DNR of your specific state. Some states do not allow it at all, and others only allow it during non-hunting time, during the non-hunting. But and then some states allow you to hunt all year. I mean, feed all year round. So it is something that you would need to check out with your local DNR or state DNR. But I highly recommend the combination of both if you can do it.
Okay, and you know, the whole United States is, you know, so different from north to south, east to west, you know, with all these various climates and, you know, weather patterns. You know, what are the differences between the north and south that you should consider whenever you are going to plant a food plot?
Well, the biggest difference I can think of, Ralph, is in the south where we're from, we can have food plots year-round. For the most part. Now, we have gotten more snow this year than I've ever seen in my life, but most of the time we can keep food plots all year round down here. So we can keep the deer coming to the same field all year round. Up north, they don't have that luxury. A lot of the year is covered or frozen with snow. And to be honest with you, to plant and then for it just to snow on top of it is a waste of money. So the differences that I would say is to make sure that when you are planting in the northern states, and you know, some northern states aren't as bad as others. I mean, you're talking, Michigan, northern Michigan, or not even northern, but Michigan and Wisconsin, they're gonna probably plant once a year, to be honest with you. Keep their food plots through the summer and, here in the south, you know, August is kind of a target date of when we plant our fall food plots. August or even early September. If I was up north, I'd probably start that process as early as I could in the summer and maintain them just to give them a longer time. Cause there's sort of a short window in some states as to how long, they'll be able to utilize a food plot up there.
Okay, so where, you know, approximately would that dividing line in the United States be as far as, like, what separates the north? Are there particular states that, you know, you would say, well, that's north and, you know, this is south, so?
I would probably say northern Kentucky would probably be the furthest south, because Kentucky gets a good bit of snow, too. I mean, and more colder weather than we do, but probably the southeastern United States, the southwestern United States is not going to have any kind of problem planting all year round, keeping food plots sustained all year round. When you start getting up northern Missouri, northern Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania, of course, it's kind of hit and miss up there in those states, but any further north, they're going to have to deal with the weather, and that affects everything. One of the things most of the Michigan and a lot of Wisconsin, it's a lot of farmland, so usually the deer don't have to worry too much about food sustenance because it is readily available except for those few months when they are foraging around.
Right.
But I would, if I lived in those northernmost states, probably around the Great Lakes, definitely the New England states, I would definitely start my food plots as soon as the ground thaws, maybe in June or maybe even May, and try to sustain them through the summer to try to pattern a deer before hunting season comes in.
Okay. And are there certain types of plants that, you know, work best in the north?
Yes. Deer down here in Alabama probably wouldn't know what alfalfa is. and it is very area specific, and the hunters that you have in your given states are probably going to know what product works best for them out there. Alfalfa is really big in the Midwest, and even up north, probably rye is really good up north. It's a very durable plant, that can handle, different weather conditions. And they're going to eat what they have readily available to eat. And when, like I said, our deer down here love wheat. They love, chicory, rye, pretty much any clover. I think clover would probably be something that's pretty nationwide. I think any deer would eat clover as long as they could get to it. Like I said, alfalfa, some states, wheat, probably most states wheat, but, I would definitely not go out and buy a bunch of alfalfa for down here. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think of something that I probably wouldn't buy for up north. Wheat is probably a good general food source that you could buy and be pretty safe.
Okay. When you're talking about, you know, clover and chicory and all that, what are the nutritional differences between the two? Is there one that's higher in nutrients than the other?
Those are two really good sources of protein and nutrients. You know, wheat and rye are very good as well. I probably would be, the main thing you're trying to get them to do is eat this source of nutrition that they need. And as far as the, they love clover. Clover is high in protein, and alfalfa is high in protein. Chicory is a leafy plant that they seem to like too, a tender leafy plant. As far as the nutritional differences, they all have chelated minerals in them and, that the deer need. And like I said, I don't know if one is better or higher in nutrition than the other. The main thing is just to make sure they eat, get something that they will forage on to get these chelated minerals that they need.
Okay. And what is your ideal food plot?
Mine? Down here where I normally hunt, or in Texas, it depends. I love a blend of all things because, again, variety I think is better. Down here I'd probably get a blend of wheat, rye, chicory, clover. Now if I'm on a budget, which everybody's probably going to be this year, it my choices would be much different. But, as far as, my choice of what I would plant if I had the choice would be, a combination of chicory and wheat and even rye, and clover.
Okay. And you mentioned, with a budget, it would be different. How so?
Well, there's a few things that I tell customers when they call and say, what can I do and save the most money? And the first thing that I can recommend to everyone, no matter where you live, is spend $10 and do a pH test of your soil. And there's a couple of reasons why. Some ground needs fertilization in order to, because the pH level's off and you're going to need, and it will tell you exactly what kind of fertilizer and how much you need. And let's just face it, fertilization is probably the most expensive part of a food plot. And if you don't need it, or you don't need what you're using, then you're just wasting that money. And that's the biggest thing that I think that, people that are on a budget, and let's just face it, most of the hunting clubs down here, everyone's on a budget because you're using a conglomeration of money and you're having a lot of things you're having to spend money on, such as deer blinds and tractor work and all that. So if, you know, to save money, one of the biggest things, the first step I would do to plant a food plot on a budget, is, or to get, like you said, sirloin food plot with a hamburger budget, is first go ahead and take a pH test of the soil and let it tell you what you need to do and what's going on with your soil.
Okay. And how do you do that? I've been thinking about this. Do you do it from just one spot, or do you need, you know, several sample spots from around the property? You know, I was thinking, like, how deep do you have to dig for a sample? Can you explain the process?
Yeah, it's real simple, and you don't have to take multiple samples. If you've got an area that you think is pH different because of where it is, whether it's in a low area or something like that, you may want to take another one. But generally, what you're trying to do is get in the ballpark, sort of like bore sighting a rifle. You're trying to get on the paper there, and then you're going to tweak it more. But for a 1,000-acre piece of property, I think probably one soil sample would be enough. And, again, we're on a budget, and we're just trying to determine if I'm going to need to fertilize, and if so, how much and what type of fertilizer. Some soil may need lime, and lime's sort of expensive and messy. But I would recommend people only liming every other year, or maybe even every third year. Again, take that pH sample, and it'll tell you exactly what you need to do. Because let's just face it, if you don't, and all of us have had food plots that we've planted, we put in the time, we fertilized, we've done everything that we know to do, and they just haven't come up properly. Well, that's a big waste of money, when a $10 test could have told you exactly what you needed to do. So that's just the biggest money saver I think you can do, and it's going to cost you $10. In some states, $5. So.
Okay. And say you get those, you know, sample tests back, and you find that your soil is just really bad. Say in extreme cases, you have, you know, really sandy soil or clay or rocky or, you know, whatever. What can you do in those different types of soils?
Well, again, the test is going to tell you you have this kind of pH. Now, probably what you're going to need to do is fertilize with lime, for an example. Then you go spend your money on the lime and you go ahead and mix it into the soil and just give it a try. But now, if you're talking about sandy, real sandy soil, you may want to think of another area to plan your food plot. But you know, but again, the test will tell you what you need to do. It's just the best spending of $10 that you could ever hope to get. And you have to do it early because most of us, like me, we have work days at the hunting club in August, and this should be done well before you even think about planting a food plot, so you'll know exactly what needs to be done. But obviously, you're going to try to select an area that's first of all conducive with what you've seen in the deer traffic, and really what you're trying to do is make it easier for them and to hold them in the area. So you're going to pick a spot that's good. And then once you test the soil and determine that it might not be the best place to do a food plot, then don't waste your time and money. Go find another place. There's plenty of them out there. So, but that's that. Like I said, the pH test will answer all questions. There will be no doubt as to what you need to do to make your soil proper for growing.
Okay, and can you share some of your, you know, personal success stories with food plots?
Yes. One other thing, Ralph, I wanted to mention on the budget is the marketing that we do on the mixed seed and stuff like that. And like I said, my preference is to have a variety. But if you're on a budget, you can go to your local co-op and find a single seed, a non-mixture, in other words, a single seed, and stick with that. Down here, like I said, I've been mentioning wheat a lot. Wheat is a very common source of food for all deer, I believe. I mean, no matter where you are in the country, wheat is something that you can get that they will forage on. And wheat is relatively inexpensive. You can also go, just some other tips for hunters is that you can go to these co-ops and find busted bags and stuff like that that you can get just dirt cheap, literally, because they're making a mess in the co-op and they're wanting to get rid of them, and they will. And I've actually done that for a few years, go to the co-op and find busted bags and be able to get them at a song.
Wow.
And that's something that, you know, will definitely help with planning a food plot on a budget. I mean, little things and little experiences that all hunters have had to save money, because let's just face it, mama don't want you spending the grocery money on the food plot, so.
But speaking of those busted bags, do seeds ever go bad? Is there like a timetable on some
Excellent question. I read, and I can't even think of where I read it from, that one particular hunter, when he was thinking, you can buy year-old seeds. Some farmers now will not, well, most farmers won't buy a year-old seed. But when you're talking about food plots, there's a quick test that you can do if it's a year-old or two-year-old seed that the co-op has. And again, an excellent way to save a bunch of money, because they're wanting to get rid of it. They need to get rid of it. Yeah. And is to get a paper towel, wet it, put some of the seed on there, and let it sit for a few days. And if the seed's okay, it'll start germinating and sprouting, and you'll know that it's a good bag. So it may take a couple of days, but it's well worth the test. And it's real simple to find out if it's good or bad seed. But again, you can get that stuff really, really cheap and inexpensive, because you're doing them a favor by buying it.
Right.
And you know what? The deer don't care. As long as it grows, they don't care.
True, very true. I didn't realize that they germinated that fast.
For a couple of days, if you put it on a paper towel, and like I said, you don't put a lot of it, just sprinkle some on there and make sure the towel is good and wet, and as it dries, and put it in the sunshine, obviously. And just, you can tell if the seed will germinate or not.
Okay, and that brings up another question. When you mentioned about putting it in the sunshine, wherever you plant your food plots, how do you determine what areas, as far as, you know, how much light to get? Because is it possible for some seeds to get burned out by too much light, or does some require a little bit more shading?
The food that we have been talking about can take as much sunlight as you can give it.
Okay.
But the problem is the opposite of that. You know, you plant food plots around in a meadow, and depending on, you know, again, going back to the budget, you certainly don't want to throw seed in shady areas where it's not going to grow. That's just waste. And most of them are always going to be backed up, unless you're down in Texas, going to be surrounded by trees and foliage that you know, nothing's going to grow. So, I mean, you know, if you have the ability to cut down undesirable trees, such as some pine trees, and I don't mean undesirable, I'm just talking about for deer nutrition. You know, you certainly don't want to cut any hardwoods or oaks, because that's another source of nutrition for the deer, but pine trees and sycamore trees and those things just really don't give any value to the deer herd. And if they're if there's a way you can get rid of those around the food plot, that, you know, that would take sunlight away from the seed growing in the food plot. And we've all had this issue. I mean, I'm the world's worst when I get in a mode of planting, then you know, I'm just throwing seed. You know, and if you throw it in those shady areas, it's just not going to grow, no matter what you do, no matter how much fertilizer you put down there, it's not going to grow. But as far as too much sun, I've never had one of my food plots burn up because of too much sun, and we get a good bit down here. So.
Okay, so, you know, a common recommendation that I've read is to have 3 to 5% of your total acreage in food plots. How about in agricultural areas? Do cash crops, you know, like corn and soybean count toward the food plot acres? You know,
absolutely. Absolutely, because they're going to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So it definitely would. As far as 3 to 4% in food plots, that'd be great if you could do that.
Okay.
You know, that would be an excellent source of food, and I can't see why the deer would travel. Other than in some of those farming states where, you know, it's a smorgasbord of food for them to eat at any time, you know, anywhere. I don't know if any food plot you could plant would keep a deer from going to a cornfield.
Right. That's true. They all got the sweet tooth.
Yeah.
I'd asked you this a few questions ago, and we kind of got sidetracked, but what are some of your personal success stories with food plots?
Like I said, the most successful that I have ever seen is a food plot in association with a supplemental feeder. It's just more than they can stand. It gives them everything they need right in one spot. I like throwing soybean during the off season, such as in, like, again, we can feed up here as long as it's not in Alabama, as long as it's not 10 days before hunting season starts. And of course we can't feed at all during hunting season, but, during the spring and summer months, I like, if you can do it, if you get your deer trained to, have a good, food plot of whatever your choice is. In Alabama, we can pretty much do anything. Like I said, I probably wouldn't spend the money on alfalfa because even though they'd probably eat it, it's just not something that readily grows down here. Take your choice, wheat, rye, throw it out there, plant it, and then supplement it with soybean during the summer months, and right before hunting season, I'll throw a good bit of corn to it. You know, corn's like candy to deer. They can smell it a mile away, and they'll come running. But if you get them used to eating the soybean along with grazing in the food plot, that's the ultimate, I would think, in success in any supplemental program for the deer. And I think it's pretty easy to do anywhere as long as they allow broadcast feeding in your state. And, again, check with your local DNR on that.
Okay. And how much you know, do food plots and the nutrients, you know, deer get from these plants, how much does that really contribute to growing large racks?
Well, that's a good question. One of the biggest, if you're wanting to increase the health of your herd. Something that we, you know, I grew up in a time where shooting does was against the law. You could not shoot a doe except on given days, and you'd have to have special tags for those. And that has trained us as hunters, my age group of hunter, which is, you know, middle age, 40s and 50s, that it's hard to shoot a doe. Because of the way you were raised hunting. You just didn't shoot does. And again, people don't realize that hunters are the biggest conservationists in the world, and we want to do what's right. We want to do what's right for the deer herd. We want to do what's right within the law. And now the laws have changed because the doe populations have gotten so big. And a lot of the reasons that if you're not seeing the antler growth that you would like to see in your particular hunting area, check your doe populations. Check with a biologist, and your state should have a biologist on board that can help you with this information, your deer herd information. He may tell you you need to take 30 or 40 does out this season, and you know, and that's going to help. because when there's too many deer in an area and most of them are does, then they're going to be sucking up all the nutrition that is necessary for proper and good healthy antler growth. And as far as antler growth, the first step I would do is to make sure your doe population is under control. Secondly, deer are only going to be able to ingest 16% protein. Make sure they're getting that much. You can get protein through mineral licks. Soybean is an excellent source of protein. Or you can put feeding troughs out during the off season that they will come to that is, you know, an excellent source of protein, and even it will help the deer fight infection. So, I mean, that's also a very good source of protein that's usually in a trough that you get them patterning to come there to get that, and they will. Deer is the most amazing creature in the world. They will find the minerals they need.
Mm-hmm.
All we're trying to do is to make sure that they find them without having to go too far. And mineral licks and food trough feeding is an excellent source of good, proper, healthy antler growth. And again, the biggest thing is to make sure your does aren't eating up all your protein. You know, make sure you check with your biologist and see what they'll sometimes, I know in Alabama, they will definitely tell you, and in Texas, they will definitely tell you, you need to take X amount of does in this area.
Okay. And what's the most important tip you can give somebody who is, say, just bought, you know, 1,000 acres and wants to turn that 1,000 acres into a deer magnet? What's the most important thing you can tell them?
The biggest thing is again, I'd check with the biologist first and see what my deer herd is, and that will kind of tailor you around what you need to do. And again, it's like anything else. I can buy a Volkswagen or I can buy a Mercedes-Benz. Depends on how much money I want to spend. And if you've got 1,000 acres and you're wanting to turn it into a place where deer are going to come to get the sustenance they need, you're going to have to provide it. And that's going to be in food plots, supplemental feeding as far as trough feeding, you know, for protein, mineral licks, and as far as how many you need is, with 1,000 acres, I probably have at least 16 to 18 food plots, if not more. The more the better.
Wow. Okay.
With
How big would you make those food
not
plots?
Very, see, that's another thing. in two facets, to save money and to, cut down on, how many? Now, if you've got an acre food plot is about the size of, just for easy math, just say a football field.
Mm-hmm.
If you're getting one section of that football field used, then you may want to consider breaking it down into fours. You know, quad it up, and say, well, I don't need an acre lot here. I need maybe a quarter acre here, and I need a half acre over here. You know, just basically common sense as to if you've got an area that is not heavily populated, and you're going to be able to tell if it's heavily populated or not, then if it's heavily populated, you may want a bigger food plot. You may want an acre food plot. If not, then I like to keep mine small. And again, it also depends on your setup. I've been some places and some areas that have like condominiums for shooting houses that will allow you to make a pretty long shot from where you are. If you're hunting out of a tree, you know, I just don't want an acre food plot to hunt over. And most of the time, an acre food plot is not going to be all used. So that'd probably be overkill. You just want to make sure you don't have overkill on food plots. Remember, that's just one source of food for the deer.
Right.
And they will seek out other acorns, if acorns on the ground, I don't care what you plant. They're going to be in the woods on the acorns. But, that is the sirloin steak for a deer, is the acorn.
So it's just about knowing what's already on your property. And
then the first step in that is getting a biologist to help you with your deer population to know what you got. And most states do extensive studies on this, so it shouldn't be something that you have to wait on very long. And then basically providing them the proper, you know, 1,000 acres, if it's all flat land, and you own it and you can clear timber, you're pretty much, like I said, that's a Mercedes. But if it's leased land that you have limited availability of what you can do, then you're pretty much subject to what you have, you know, because most people aren't going to let you alter the land or cut trees, you know, just for that. But if you own the land and you can set it up the way you want to, 1,000 acres, I'd probably, you know, minimum of 16, maximum of, you know, 30 even, depending on how big they are.
Okay. And, you know, one more question is just any final tips for, you know, somebody starting a new food plot?
Well, just to summarize a little bit what we've gone over, you know, the high points, if I was starting out tomorrow to do this, is first of all, take a pH test of your soil, find out what you need to do as far as fertilization, if any, to that food plot. And if there's anything you have to cut, I would suggest it be the fertilizer because it is the most expensive. It's going to be sometimes 3 to 4 times more expensive than the seed itself. Choose a single seed product instead of a blend to save money on the seeding. Again, perfect scenario. I like to have a variety, but that doesn't mean that that's going to be the deer are going to eat anything, you know, as long as you provide them that nutrition that they're looking for at the time. Wheat, rye, example, a perennial. A good perennial would be clover. It's a very resilient plant. You pretty much would have to mow it once a year, and it'll last a couple of years. So, and that would help out in some expenses as well. But supplemental feeding when you can is always more desirable. Along with your food plot, have the supplemental feeders out there just to give ring the dinner bell and pattern your deer to come when you want them to come out to feed. As far as protein, mineral licks that are high in chelated minerals and protein, along with the food pellets fed and usually in a trough, they will come to that and get their protein source of feed. And those pellets help with fight down infection in the deer herd as well. So that would be my biggest suggestion on definitely in this economic times that we're in to try to save money as much as you can. That would be the best way. And like I said, if you have to cut anything, cut your fertilizer or cut it way down. But get that pH test to find out if you even need to do it.
Okay. Well, it has really been a pleasure talking to you today, Gene.
Yeah, I hope we've been able to help out a few hunters out there that were wondering what would be the best way to plant their food plots this year.
Yeah, and for all our listeners who'd like to learn more about Moultrie products, can you give us your web address?
Absolutely. www.moultriefeeders.com.
Okay, thanks again.
All right, thanks a lot.
And thank you to all the folks who have been listening to this installment of the Trophy Buck Secrets Teleseminar Series. I'm Ralph Scherter, and once again, here's Dave Barrett.
Thanks, Ralph, and thank you, Gene, for taking the time to be with us. And especially thanks to you for listening in on the call. You know, at TrophyBuckSecrets.com, we do 3 or 4 special teleseminar series like this every year, including the very popular Rut Summit. Our Trophy Nation members will get free access to these events, including the MP3 audios and PDF transcripts. These digital packages normally sell from $17 to $67, but you'll get them all as they happen with your Trophy Nation membership. That's in addition to all of the other benefits of membership. If you're a serious deer hunter and you're enjoying this information and you'd like access to even more at a great price, then you just might have what it takes to be Trophy Nation material. Why not find out for yourself by clicking the Trophy Buck Secrets button on the left-hand part of your screen. I'm looking forward to welcoming you to the ultimate Big Buck Brotherhood today. Thanks again, and go ahead now and click that Trophy Buck Secrets button now, and I'll see you on the other side.